This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gretchen, we are so excited. We are going on tour this fall, back on the road with Happier Hour with Gretchen and Elizabeth.
Woo!
Everyone can come see our disembodied voices live on stage.
Yeah, plus there's going to be slides. We don't get to show slides on the podcast, but we've got slides.
Visuals.
Yes.
Tickets are now on sale for San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, and Kansas City, our hometown.
Woo. For Providence, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and Charlotte, tickets will go on sale the week of September 9th. You can get all the information, details, links to buy on GretchenRubin.com/events. And if you want to make sure you're notified when we're coming to your city and more information, sign up for my newsletter at GretchenRubin.com/newsletter. Yes, hashtag newsletter. I send out information to keep people notified.
Please come, bring your friends. We had so much fun meeting our podcast listeners at our live shows earlier this year. We can't wait to meet a whole lot more of you.
Yay!
Okay, I put a list of everyone we have to get back to today on the whiteboard.
Okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people. Ooh, that's not good.
We need to do a better job of responding to our emails.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Liz Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner of 19 years, Sarah.
That's me, Sarah Fain. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
Today is our Labor Day episode. A lot of us use New Year's Day as a time to reflect on life goals. Well, we at the Onward Project are using Labor Day as an opportunity to reflect on our career goals. We would love to find out your career goals. Post them on Twitter, Instagram, and in our Facebook group with hashtag Happier Labor Day. Sarah, let's get started.
Yay.
Very excited. Today we have with us somebody who has had an amazing career. She is our guest co-host. She's going to be with us the whole episode. Sherry Salata.
Yay. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, my friends. Oh, I'm in your fabulous studio. You guys are big time.
Let me do your official intro.
Ooh.
Sherry is a writer, producer, and co-host of the podcast The Sherry and Nancy Show and a co-founder of ThePillarLife.com. Sherry was the executive producer of The Oprah Winfrey Show and also served as co-president of Harpo Studios and owned the Oprah Winfrey Network. She is an all-around badass who has so much to teach all of us, and her new book, The Beautiful No, and Other Tales of Trial, Transcendence, and Transformation is a must-read. I loved your book so, so much. I loved it, like, deeply and profoundly.
I'm so glad. And everybody should know, you guys have both reached out to me to say that and personally, and nothing could make me happier.
Oh, well, it not only has a lot to say, but it's just a great read. Like, it's a page-turner. So we highly recommend it. And we're going to talk about the book. And we thought, Sherry, that you would be the perfect co-host for this episode because you have reached career heights most people cannot even imagine as the executive producer of The Oprah Winfrey Show and OWN and Harpo Studios. But you've also paid a price for reaching those heights. And so today we want to talk about what you've learned and what we can all learn from your experience.
Yes, many lessons. Yes. I'm just filled with gems.
Yes. All right, well, let's get started with From the Treadmill Desk, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And this week it's The Beautiful No.
Yes.
Straight from you, Sherry.
Yeah, you named your book The Beautiful No.
I did.
Based on a no you received shortly before you ended up at The Oprah Winfrey Show.
That's right. That's right. And I'd like to tell you I was wise enough to put that together right at the time. But it was years later when I realized that I had gotten a big, huge rejection for a job I really, really wanted. I wanted it so bad I could taste it. And I thought in the interview I had gotten it. And then I got a form letter from the HR department saying, I'm sorry, we're not hiring right now. And we'd already popped the champagne. So it was just such a letdown and such a disappointment. And there was something inside me. Maybe there was that kind of spiritual release that, you know, you hear people talk about. Because shortly after that, I got the message from the Oprah show, would I be available to come in and freelance and produce promos for them? And what I realized down the road, and I was in dire straits, 35 years old, I was out of money, I'd been freelancing, I hadn't put it together, I was like, oh my God, dreams never come true. Yeah. And, you know, what I realized looking back on that, had I gotten that big job and all that security and the 401k and the insurance and everything that went with it, I wouldn't, and I know this about myself, I wouldn't have had the courage to let that go so quickly to go take a chance at the Oprah show. So it's almost like the universe just kind of said, hang on, hang on. This is going to hurt a little bit, but hang on. And it's kind of become a foundational spiritual principle.
And you didn't even sort of in your own mind know you wanted, like, you were like, I would love to work at the Oprah Winfrey show. I love that show. But it wasn't as if you had, it seems like, even articulated that clearly to yourself as a goal.
Well, I was in Chicago and I was in advertising. And across the river on the west side, the West Loop, there was this Oprah show, Phenom. And I didn't really watch daytime TV because I worked like so many people and I didn't know how to work my VCR back in the day. So, it was like, wow, that sounds really cool. But and I had applied and actually been rejected from that years before because something about it was calling to me. But I would not say for years it had been my dream. It just was, I was on the hunt for meaning. I loved producing. I loved the creativity of it. But I really wanted, if I was going to work like that, I wanted it to matter.
Isn't that the whole point?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. It's like you work so hard and you want there to be some more significance to it. Right. Have you had other beautiful no's in your career?
You know what I've realized, though, my career, my life, my everything, that for all of us, now I do this with people. I honestly look back at their no's, their rejections, their, you know, the man who didn't love them, you know, or the partner that didn't, that broke up, or, you know, all the things that the house you didn't get, you bid on it, you didn't get it. Oh my gosh, it's devastating. All those disappointments and heartbreaks. It turns out if you can really fly way above, like, you know, and really get a helicopter view of it, that it's almost like you've been in a quantum bumper car situation where you're kind of, your own soul is kind of leading, bouncing you off the wall to get you more on the trajectory for what it is you are really longing for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, my brain is, of course, going through all of our no's that we have gotten. And so often we end up thinking, oh my God, thank goodness.
Right.
You know, and even right now we keep telling ourselves that because our show, The Fix, didn't get a season two. And every once in a while we remind ourselves, hey, maybe this is a good thing.
Well,
maybe
I'm outraged about that because, as you know, I was a faithful viewer of The Fix. Nothing could have shocked me more. But yes, and here's the trick, because, you know, this is the perfect time to practice this idea that right now it's fresh. It's disappointing. It's not what you thought you wanted to happen. But if right now, if you can take back the days that you would spend, give yourself a little human reaction, and I'm sure you have because you're both really, really smart and on it that way. But now it's like, now for sure, you let that go. You don't lose any more time to that disappointment because you're right. You're gonna find out. You're going to find out what a gift it was.
Let's hope so.
I'm sure of it.
This reminds me of, we often are, one of our mottos is, you never know what's good news and what's bad news.
Yes.
And it's that they're very related, those ideas.
Yes.
But integrating that when you're in that moment of a beautiful no is difficult.
Yes. it can be really difficult. But, you know, kind of here's where I end up on this principle. I don't want to waste any more of my life not feeling good. And so, you know, there are going to be moments because I'm a human being where I'm glum or I'm down or I'm disappointed. But I feel like I wasted lots of time, you know, ruminating. Why isn't this working out? I just don't want to waste any more days on that. I'm in the middle of my life. So I'm in my 50s and I really don't want to squander those sands through the hourglass. You know, ruminating over something that in truth is probably the greatest gift.
Right, which you can't change anyway. You know, that's the thing. It's not like feeling bad about it changes the outcome. Now, my question for you, though, because when I saw the title of your book, The Beautiful No, I thought it was going to be about saying no.
Yes.
And so I want to know if that's also something that has kind of factored into your life, because I imagine on the Oprah show, although you had to say no to a lot of people, you had to say yes to sort of every
right.
thing that came your way. Do you say no as well as, you know, receiving no's?
Well, that's a really, really great question. And here's what I will tell you from my past. I could be fabulous at saying no for Oprah or for somebody else. Where I struggled was saying no for myself, like keeping those boundaries. And so, you know, I'm improving on that. And I'm improving on that professionally. I'm improving on that personally as I integrate my life more and more. But here at the end of the day, here are two things that I'm saying to myself to really keep myself on track. Number one, I want to be the most trustworthy steward of my own well-being. And that means I am now the curator of who comes in my life, what comes in my life, whether it's a television show, whether it whatever kind of content, whether it's a relationship, I am the curator. And I want to make sure I'm really on it. So I am always in good stewardship of my own life. And there's another principle. This is something, you know, this is the crazy thing. You're flipping through Instagram, and most times it's just a rabbit hole where you end up not feeling good about yourself. Like you're not having enough fun.
Yeah.
You're not having enough adventures. But there was this post, and it said, love yourself first, which we've all heard a million times back in the day from the Oprah show. And the second part of it was love yourself most. And I have been, I honestly cannot get it out of my mind, because I almost feel like if you can embrace that practice and just do everything through the lens of what would my decision be if I loved myself most? And it kind of changes everything from what kind of water you're drinking to what kind of relationships you're going to have. And you kind of can start to build that trust with yourself. So, you know, in answer to your question, learning how to say that compassionate but firm no is, I'm going to get that right. I'm working on it. That muscle is strengthening, and I'm going to get that right.
Me too. I'm going to work on that muscle also. That is a good muscle. Okay, next up, Sherry shares how we can all have a healthier attitude toward work and take a hike. But first, this break.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's BOLL and Branch.com.
Okay, it's time for Take a Hike, in which we discuss mental, physical, or spiritual health. And today we're talking about staying sane when it comes to our jobs.
Sherry, you and Nancy Holla, your co-host on the Sherry and Nancy Show, have developed the pillar life.
Yes.
You've divided your life into 8 different pillars: health and wellness, friends and family, romance and sex, and 5 others. How many did I say? And we love that instead of a work pillar, you have a creativity and innovation pillar. So tell us about that. How did you reframe that and why?
Well, we reframed that especially because the W word had become a bit of a trigger for me. What it meant was, she's so busy, meaning me. That was like my middle name for years and years. and really like a very separate outside of myself, you know, all-consuming focus. And what Nancy and I started talking about is wanting to have a more integrated life, a whole life, where we're just flowing our attention in the way that makes sense. So we called that area professional, career, creativity, and innovation. So that can look really different in a lot of ways. But here's what it also does. It throws out that idea that we all fail at called work-life balance. You know, there yeah. isn't such a thing. I mean, I have completely removed that concept, that idea from any kind of languaging or thinking that I do, because first of all, the concept of balance is you're out of it and coming back into it. Mm. So it's repeated failure. I think that concept, women have used that idea to beat themselves up mercilessly for all the things they're not, for all the things they're not doing, they're not getting to, they're not being enough of. And instead, I think maybe the better way to manage our lives and manage our careers and it is to look at it as a whole, and that we're just flowing our attention intuitively to the places in our lives that make sense. And for those of us who get a lot of juice out of creating and innovating that way, then that's where we flow a lot of our attention to.
Yeah, because I have a question, because you must have gotten such an adrenaline rush from your job. And it feels like you're almost trying to make it less of an adrenaline rush. Like, was that almost an addiction that you like had to sort of tear yourself away from, or do you still search for that, but just with a sort of healthier attitude?
Well, I honestly, I feel like everything I'm talking about, I could have done in my old job.
I just didn't.
You know, it's kind of like when you come home from a really like all encompassing, draining, woo, roller coaster ride of a day. What are you doing once you get home? You know, like maybe that's the time to do a meditation and to do, you know, some yoga poses and do some stretching and some mindfulness, you know, instead of kind of watching, you know, like zoning out over CNN and whatever nightmare is going on in the world, you know, eating a big cheesy pizza and having one too many glasses of Chardonnay, you know, and going to bed too late. You know, there's some choices in there on those hours when you're not in the physical workspace that could make your life experience so much more well-rounded and grounded and positive and optimistic.
So do you think you could have been as good at your job had you not been so crazy, let's put it?
Yes, I do think so. And honestly, I feel like, you know, that there was a little bit of a badge of honor, who's working the hardest, who's gone without the least amount of sleep, which I think our industry in general is known for.
Totally.
It's like, wow, you know, that person really killed herself.
Yes.
You know, like, hire that person. So, and I think that's rapidly changing as we all evolve. And I think, you know, this crystallized for me a few days ago. I really feel like in these coming years, like 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, there's going to be a moment when the people who self-manage with radical self-care and really tend to their own happiness are going to be the superstars.
I think you're right. I think that is changing. Even for us, I mean, it used to be such a thing of like, how late does your writer's room go?
Right.
And now I feel it's frowned upon if you can't get out at a decent hour. And that is a total,
that is
total
a
180
huge
from how it was
right.
when we started.
It's the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it's the beginning.
Yeah.
It starts with some legal rules when nobody wants to get sued.
Yeah.
You know, and then it starts with a spiritual awakening, really.
Yeah. Now, what I love also about creativity and innovation is that, you know, we work in a creative environment and we're creative every day. But when you add innovation to it, that really raises the bar. You're not just like sitting around thinking like, oh, that's fun. Like creativity and innovation adds a whole new level of it to me. Why did you include innovation in there?
Probably for, you know, the same reason that you're talking about is innovation is like vision. It's like visioning something new, inventing, you know, ideating, and always doing that through a creative lens. We know how, as creative people, we know how we feel when we're fully engaged creatively and we're dreaming up new ideas. And then it's kind of that interesting play between execution and dreaming and how those things come together, which is why partnerships, you guys are in a partnership, I'm in a partnership in creativity and innovation and that pillar, why it's so much fun. Because sometimes it's not really fun to just bounce the ball against the wall by yourself, right?
Yeah, I love when you read about how you and Nancy came together and started your podcast and realized, hey, we're at a certain point in our lives that we don't want to just say, okay, well, now we're coasting toward the end.
Right.
We want to go for more. We want to have everything we want. And that you said you were dreamstorming instead of brainstorming.
Yes.
What did you know at the time? Were you like, let's dreamstorm? Like, what was that? I just love that phrase, dreamstorming.
I've been really intrigued by that. I've been kind of reframing the idea of dreaming for myself for a long time. And one of the things when Nance and I were like, you know, dreaming this up, it was you can feel the quantum power of kind of taking the ceiling, the drop ceiling off what you think is possible and just kind of saying, what if there were no limits? What if there was nothing in my way? Because, you know, we all have resistance like, well, I tried that. It didn't work. Or, you know, that's going to be too hard or nobody's going to want to buy that, do that, watch that. Just kind of like, I'm going to set all that aside and dreamstorm the possibilities just for the fun of it.
Mm.
Not always trying to get to like what the destination's going to be, just because it's fun. And then it's really amazing what comes out of those sessions. You know, Nancy, after the end of one of those sessions, she moved into my house for a year with her dog,
yes,
Percy.
Yes.
Can you guys imagine?
I love that so well. And it was a
pajama party.
It was amazing.
It was like, what, you know, cups of coffee, pajamas, what are we dreaming up today?
You had a year-long dream storm.
Yeah.
And then you manifested it. I mean, you have the pillarlife.com. You have the Sherry and Nancy show. You are doing it. I mean, granted, you have all these amazing skills. It's almost like everything you did set you up to be able to execute this incredible vision.
And all of our lives are that way.
Yes.
We're setting ourselves up time and time again with our experiences and the different things we learn and the different things we do. I think where we sometimes get stuck is we just kind of like go, well, that's it. Uh-huh. You know, we're at the end of the block instead of like, open up your eyes. There's a whole new road.
So as your business is growing, as this wonderful pillar life takes off, you are in danger of potentially falling into the same traps.
Ooh.
So what are you doing? How do you keep yourself from falling into those patterns?
Well, I can tell you when it happened. I mean, as I was getting ready for this book launch, you can imagine all of a sudden you can feel the energy around things heating up and more calls and more advice. And everybody has a million ways how you're going to make it a bestseller, how many things you have to do, blah, blah, blah. And I could feel like there were maybe 4 or 5 days, honestly, where I was like feeling off, like where I was like, do I have any mozzarella cheese sticks in the house, even though I usually don't stock those anymore? Like, gosh, what would I give for a big, icy, big gulp? You know, like, I could just feel that kind of thing. Like, and I dare say I was like, remember when I used to smoke? And I was like, what's happening here? What's happening is old neuropathways, old patterns of throwing everything you are at something. Just, you know, it's almost a little fear-based. Like, if I don't do that, it won't be a success. And I had to sit myself down and say, nope, we don't live like that anymore. And we are just going to meditate. We're going to do our meditation. We're going to take a walk around the block. We're going to do some breathing and realize you know where that leads. You know where that feeling, that weird energetic feeling of, you know, I got to create a 500-page to-do list. And if I don't do it, you know, I could be risking the future of this book and instead be more like how I want to live now, which is I've written the book. It's done now. It's in print. There's nothing more to do. You know, the people I know and love will invite me on their podcast. Thank you so much. And that's that. And now it's an offering. And I will do what's fun, and that's that. But I have to stay super vigilant about it. You know.
Yes. I mean, I love that feeling. Yes. I will admit, I definitely love the feeling of the crunch and that I can let everything else in my life go away.
Yes.
I love the permission to do nothing else. And that's not a good thing. I mean, but I am.
I don't know. Little bits of it are.
Yeah.
Little bits of it. It's fun and exhilarating and it becomes a focus. It's just like, how long does that go?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's okay for an afternoon, but not for a month or two.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So what would you tell someone who is in the situation that you were in, like, year 10 of running the Oprah Winfrey Show? What would you tell someone who's living that life and that way right now? How can they kind of take steps to do it differently?
Well, if you're in the middle of it right now, you have to have a little mini reckoning with yourself. Mm. You know, if your life is great, you're super happy, it's easy to choose happiness and on an hourly basis, then you don't need any advice from me. You know, However, if you can feel like your health is out of whack, your relationships are out of whack, you know, there's a little like you're happy when you're in the midst of it, but you can tell like there's this background noise where you've taken the rest of your life and gone unconscious, then it's time to like start to do a little reckoning and start to say, what is the life of my dreams? Not just the career of my dreams. What is the life of my dreams of which that career can be a part of it, but not everything? And then once you've done that, then what are the little practices that move me forward in those dreams? And those are the things that we're all doing and we're talking about, that two steps forward, one step back, net gain, one step forward.
And anyone who is in that situation, read Sherry's book, because you really go through the reckoning that you went through and how you had to be really honest with yourself and how you've changed. And it's just a great story. Up next, we've got a Hollywood hack inspired by Sherry's recent move. But first, this break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now it's time for this week's Hollywood hack. Make a radical change. Sherry, you have made a couple radical changes in the last few years. You left OWN and started the Sherry and Nancy Show, as well as thepillarlife.com. That was like its own huge thing. And then you moved to Napa, which is also a radical change. So why did you do this? What are the benefits of it?
Here's the thing about a radical change. It really shifts all of your perspectives. And, you know, I'm a person who, like many of us, change sometimes gets me uncomfortable. Like, no. I want things to stay the same. I don't want things to change. But what I'm continuing to learning is that's where my biggest growth comes from. That's when I really evolve and elevate. And I just had a moment, you know, I had been full-time in Hollywood for 3 years. I had been going back and forth between Chicago and LA for 5. So it was like 8 years. And I was kind of like, well, you can actually live anywhere. Your company is your laptop. Your office is your laptop. Where do you really, 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 where is your heart calling you? What is that next place? And I had been going to Napa Valley for 10 years. And I was like, I think I want to live in a town and not a city. And I think I want to grow my own crops. And I think I want to be able to walk to town, walk to my dentist, walk to my eye doctor. And I have manifested that. And it's a radical change. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
At the first little bit of it.
And do you feel like, I don't know, that it was a good thing?
Yeah.
I mean,
and I'm still navigating some of the things that are more challenging. Like, I'm on a book tour now and I'm far from an airport.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all, you know, like I'm flying back tonight. It's like, oh God, I'm going to be in a car forever getting home. However, that's kind of like the sacrifice I will make. So when I wake up tomorrow morning in my little wine country house, I feel like I'm camping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm surrounded by gigantic trees and I'm camping. And then I'm going to go out and pick some lettuce and my radishes. I might have a tomato ready, you know, one tomato and 15 zucchini, because that's how they grow. And then I'll make my own lunch. And there's something about that newness. That's that newness thing where I'm like, I've never done this before. And it feels like I'm mixing up the pot.
And do you have advice for anyone who's considering a radical change, how to approach it, like how to weigh your options?
The best radical change to start with for anybody, I think, is radical self-care. You know, starting to figure out what that looks like. And it's not, you know, incense and massages only. Like, what is the idea of radical self-care, really loving yourself most? What is that going to look like in your life? What's your recipe going to be for that? And then from that space, other radical changes like a move, a breakup, you know, a fresh start. You know, those kinds of decisions made from that really sturdy place where you know you have your own back feel the best, I think.
Right. You have to know yourself to know what you want.
To know what radical
just moving
change
physically
is.
If you haven't made any other transformative changes, you just drag your crap to the next town,
know? God, that's not good.
No.
Okay, Sherry, I'm so excited for this one. It is time for our Sherry Salata celebrity sighting. You've probably met every famous person on the planet. You were there for Tom Cruise jumping on the couch. Like, do you have an all-time favorite celebrity encounter?
Yes. And I've had many encounters with him. Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Tom Hanks is like the best dinner guest ever. We had, every time he'd come to do the show, we'd have dinner at Ralph Lauren's restaurant in Chicago. He is hilarious, super fun, really witty. And when we did the United, and I got to like do some acting with him.
Oh.
When we did the final United Center shows, we were backstage and his producer, Gary Getzman, who's a love, kind of put us together on a couch. And we did this shtick for the behind-the-scenes show. And I got done. I went, oh, my God, I was just acting with Tom Hanks.
Oh, my God. With an Oscar winner.
He's really good. And I also love Julia Roberts.
Ah.
She's fun.
I love hearing that.
Yeah, I know. That's so nice to hear.
And last night, my most fresh celebrity sighting, I was having dinner in Santa Monica with another author. And she goes, oh, my God, oh, my God. I go, what? Jeff Goldblum. Looking
love Jeff
very
Goldblum.
Handsome.
Is he vegan or something? He looks so good.
He looks amazing.
He's aging backwards.
I know. I was like, she went over to talk to him. I ran for the lobby.
Yeah, so you know you're in LA when you have your celebrity sighting in the hotel. And that's it for this special Labor Day episode of Happier in Hollywood. Remember to post your thoughts on Labor Day with the hashtag #HappierLaborDay. You can also email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe if you haven't already.
Huge thanks to our friend, the incredible Sherry Salata, for co-hosting with us today and diving into all things work. Buy her new book, The Beautiful No and Other Tales of Trial, Transcendence, and Transformation. Wherever you buy books, you will love it.
And listen to the podcast, The Sherry and Nancy Show. We should mention that Sarah and I were guests on episode 73. So, you know, listen to that episode.
It was very fun.
Thank you to our executive producer, the amazing Chuck Reed. Thanks to everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sankola Sound. Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13. And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Check out the other Onward Project podcasts, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, Side Hustle School, and the new podcast from Whole 30's Melissa Urban, Do the Thing.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at Liz Kraft, and Sarah is at S. Fain. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Sarah Fain.
And I'm Liz Kraft.
And I'm Sherry Salata.
Yay! Yay! Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
Well, I have a question for you. How are you handling, like, you have an amazing outfit on right now. Like, did you do a whole stylist thing for your book tour? Or is this
No. No. And this thing, this is going to have to go in the garbage when my book tour is
okay.
over. It's like become a uniform. Nancy's like, you're not going to wear the Cynthia Raleigh again. I go, I am. I am wearing it again. I am. That's
right. Well, it looks fantastic.
I know.
I love it.
From the Onward Project.